Now it means that there is more than one door. He said there are two doors. And the first door, you always feel, says on it, do not enter. And the second door says, come on. Come in. It's important for us to be able to get past that imaginary first door. That door that says, do not enter. Into this time that we're now entering into. So I want to begin with a story. It's funny how this often happens. I was trying to remember a certain story and I couldn't. I knew it was about one of the tzaddikim from Chabad. I was remembering Slichus. I was thinking back Slichus 40 years ago this night, which was around 2 days after we were married. And I went to say Slichus by 770 with Lubavitch Rebbe, Swiss Airline. And I don't remember when I first heard the story then, or a different time, I couldn't remember, but it was interesting because just when I was trying to remember, my daughter Shifi calls me and says, so, she's teaching in seminary, and she wanted to remember a certain story. And it was the story that I was trying to remember. So between the two of us, I think this is what it is. I just told it to you a year or two ago, so you'll remember, except I can't. In 1927, the Friedrich Lubavitcher Rebbe visited Eretz Yisrael. And there was a huge thing for the Hamaydan, that came to be with him. And there was a former Lubavitcher Chassid who had left the fold, ran away from Europe, went to Israel to join the Chalutzim. And for the most part, he had abandoned the earlier way. Now it happened that the Friedrich Rebbe was staying in Yerushalayim in a place that this former chassid would pass every day on his way to work. And there was a commotion always during that time in front of the Rebbe's place. Where he was staying, there were a lot of Hasidim waiting outside, and Amcha Beis Yisrael, always long lines of people who were waiting to go to get a bracha to speak to him. And this form of chassid avoided that spot. Even though that was the way to work, he avoided passing that spot. The thought of meeting any of the chassidim who might recognize him in the past was too upsetting for him. So he kept on going other ways. And then finally it was the last day that the Rebbe was going to be in Yerushalayim. He saw a note on one of the walls, and the Rebbe would be leaving, returning to Europe. And all of a sudden, he was overcome with this desire to go into the Rebbe. And he looked at himself, and he was wearing sandals and a pair of shorts. Top and bottom, he didn't look like a chassid. But he decided that he has to go. And so he went down that block. Sure enough, there were a lot of people outside. And he was a chassid, and now he was an Israeli. It means that there's double measure of chutzpah. And the gaboim and people standing outside, all the chevra, and he just pushes his way through everybody. People are looking at him, trying to remember. He looks familiar. It's been years. And somehow he manages to get through the front lines. And the chassidim are trying to hold him back from the office where the Rebbe was. And the Rebbe, the Friedrich Rebbe, heard there was a tumult. And he said, "What's going on?" And he said, "There's some guy over here, that temple hat, you know, some Israeli guy that's trying to push in." And the Friedrich Rebbe said, "Let him go." And he came to the room. And the Rebbe looked at him. And the way that it says, when I saw it written, was Lashon HaKodesh. Obviously, it was in Yiddish. The Rebbe looked at him deep in the eyes and recognized him. And he said to him, "Soyvim, soyvim. We make circles around and around. V'basoif nefgash."
But in the end, we come back together. And he embraced this chassid, and this chassid returned. This chassid said this over by a hesped when the Friedrich Rebbe died years later in Tel Aviv. He said this as a hesped in Tel Aviv. We make circles and circles, chavr. Ubasof nifgashim. We find all different ways to avoid the encounter, the meeting. It was a long year, it was a nibbe year, a leap year. But basoif nifgash. And at the end, we meet him again. It's that meeting that I want to talk about. Because in every conversation that I've been having over the past year or two with all different members of the Hanhola from the Shul, I'm always being asked I mentioned this by the dinner, I'm always being asked to come up with some sort of a mission statement. So what is the mission statement of Slichas Night? What is it that we're trying to accomplish tonight as we stand B'Shareiach Yerushalayim, the gate of Yerushalayim, by the mezuzah, ready to step inside this time of the year? What is it that we want to accomplish tonight, the next few weeks? So everybody knows that Elul is Anila Doidi V'Doidi Li. That I am for my beloved, and my beloved is for me. Those are words that we're so used to saying. If we just stop for a second and think, Ani l'doidi. Now, in order for two who love each other to be able to remain together in a relationship of love, there's a certain devek, There's a certain glue that's needed. That devek that holds two who love each other together, that devek is called in Lashon HaKodesh ne'emonis. Ne'emonis in English is one of those words that we could translate. It means trust, loyalty, faithfulness. When there's trust between friends, between a husband and wife, when there's ne'emonis, then everything can be. When ne'emonis is not there, if there is no trust, if the trust between two has been damaged, then all of the beautiful words and cards and gestures become absolutely meaningless. So what is in Hilchos Ne'emanos, in that world of trust? What is Simen Aleph, Seif Aleph, Seif Katan Aleph? What is the Aleph in Hilchos Ne'emanos? Now, because I have been dealing for so many years now with Chevra, together with therapists, Jews from all backgrounds who are going through terrible difficulties, therapists who are trying to help, I've had this conversation so many times with professionals here. When I was in Eretz Yisrael 2 years ago, I spent time speaking to different professionals there as well. It always comes back to this shaila. And we have some therapists, some professionals right here now. It comes back to a very, very painful question. It's a question of whether there should be full disclosure or not. In other words, what usually happens is that in most cases the husband is involved in behavior of some type. That without the wife knowing is eroding the relationship, is destroying him. And the question is, in order for healing to take place within himself and in the marriage, must he disclose? Must he tell his wife the truth about what's happening in his life, in his secret life, and the life that she's not part of? So since there are professionals here, I'm not going to pretend to know the lumdis in all of this. I've heard deis, yesh oimim kach, yesh oimim kach. There are different situations. There are certain personalities that if the wife hears this, the marriage will be finished immediately. But one thing is clear from these conversations is that the individual himself who is suffering, the individual who is living with this secret life, desperately does need to tell the truth, to disclose. Let's go back to the beginning of time. So Chava gives her husband from the Eitz HaDa'as to eat from the tree. She doesn't disclose the truth. She doesn't tell him the whole story, what happened with the nachash, with the snake. She doesn't go through that conversation. She hides the truth from Adam HaRishon. And in doing so, she betrayed the trust that he had in her. And the bris, that covenant that was there before, has been broken. And then, just if we follow what happened afterwards and what's been going on since that first Erev Shabbos. Afterwards, after they ate from the tree, both of them were hiding from the Borei Olam. Both of them began to make the hakafas around the block, but not to pass by the Fidik Rebbe's house. They began to run away, to hide. The voice of Hashem is mishalach. The voice of Hashem is echoing through the garden. And Adam and Chava are hiding. Sovavim, sovavim. And they bring into the world Cain and Hevel. Cain kills Hevel. When confronted with the moment of truth, challenges him, Cain fails and says, Lo yadati, weiß nicht. Lo yadati, I don't know. Hashem ra'achi anochi? Well, I have an achrayis, my brother. I'm watching him. I don't know. So from the very beginning, Hever, from the very beginning, there was a betrayal in marriage. There was something dishonest in that relationship. Chava was hiding. And that brought into the world a civilization that would continue to run and hide. The bris of love between Adam and Chava, husband and wife, is broken. The bris of trust between the Creator and creation was destroyed. And here we are, Tovshin Ayin Tes, preparing for Tovshin Pei. Rabbi Nachman in Tinyon Eches, when he defines the nature of sin, of chait, he says, Ki ha'avayin b'chinas anan. He says, sin is like a cloud. Shemachshich or Hashem. Just as the cloud covers the sun and hides the sun. The nature of sin is that they're like clouds that create a darkness, and the person begins to hide behind those clouds. As it says in Navi Yeshaya Chavtes, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says they do their averus in darkness. They think that they can hide from me forever. Sovivim, sovivim. They make hakofes. And they hide behind clouds and in dark rooms and basements. So the beginning of repair, that first turn towards the room of the rabbi, towards the opening, to get past the guards, to get past that door that says no entry. Is something that we're going to be doing a lot of over the next couple of weeks. Vidui. Now, I don't want to translate that into English because the translation doesn't sound right. But everybody knows what vidui means and what it is. The tachlis of vidui is not to remind the person of the terrible, terrible mistakes that he's made over the course of the year and over the course of his life. The Baruch Shalom, as I was talking about this morning, the Baruch Shalom loves us. He's cheering for us. He wants us to succeed. So why the bizyainas? While the Yashamnu Baganu Gazalnu, while the Al-Khechikhatanu, why all the bizyonis? Again and again and again and again. The Torah says that the Baruch Shalom is not trying to embarrass us. And he has no inyan, Chalila, to humiliate us in any way. The Baruch Shalom has one goal in all of this. It's his mission statement with Am Yisrael, Kivyachal, his mission statement this time of the year. I mean, it's always, but especially now, the Baruch Shalom wants us to stop hiding. The Baruch Shalom wants us to come and to disclose the truth. Because the greatest sin that could be between two who love each other is that double life that so many of us are living nowadays. To some degree, we all do. To some degree, we're all like that husband that has a secret life on his telephone. Or a secret life in the office that I'm unfortunately dealing with so many people, so many things that are going on. Or you could have a situation, another one, a miserable situation this past week, where you could have a person who's a smiling, happy, friendly Rebbe to the boys in yeshiva, and you've got a whole other life that's going on. An ugly, disgusting, dirty, hidden second life. So what does vidui accomplish if we take it seriously? If we take vidui seriously, it's the most unbelievably liberating, the most unbelievably liberating experience. You know why? Because in Tinyon HaZayin, one a Torah that I've said over many, many times over the years, Rabbi Nachman speaks about how difficult it is for a Jew to lie. Many of us here right now are carrying different secrets. Whatever they are, it's the nature of a human being. There are secrets. We all have secrets. But when there are secrets between two who love each other, then it's impossible for that relationship not to begin to unravel. Ki ikra rachmanis, Rabbi Nachman says, ki ikra rachmanis hu kshe yisrael am kodesh noiflem. The biggest rachmanis, the most pathetic thing in the world, is when kshe yisrael am kodesh, Jews who by nature are holy. Jews who by nature want to be able to stand and to look at Hashem in the eyes. When a Jew has a double life, a separate account, that is the greatest rachmanis mikol mini rachmanis. Because all the most terrible suffering and pain in the world Einam nachshavim klal are like nothing. Kineged hamasoi hakovich la'avinus are like nothing compared to a Jew who's walking around carrying this secret. The one who is hiding the secret from his wife, or the wife from the husband, and the wife and the husband from the Rabbanu Shlom. Kikish Yisrael noiflem ba'avaynis chas v'sholem. Zeh masoi kovod me'od. Because since a Jew by nature is so honest, and he wants to have that devek, that glue, strong, that binds him with HaKadosh Baruch. In the very essence of who he is, he wants to be bound to Hashem. But because he's sinning, he's hiding, he's lying, he's walking around and around, but he's not trying to go back. It's a very, very heavy burden for a Jew to carry. In the eighth parak of Arish HaTshuva, the Rav Kook speaks about this as well. He speaks about the pain of carrying one's sins as Yisurim Atzmiyim, the most essential suffering or the most existential suffering of a Jew, is walking around with these secrets. Ki'ilu Hashem doesn't see. There, Rav Kook, the eighth parak, calls these Hamach Ovim Hagedolim. Hamach Ovim Hagedolim, the great pain. Shaneshoma Nichvis Mehem. He says the soul is burned by this pain. Because this burden of the chait causes terrible pain to the neshama. And the person walks around the whole year in this business, in this mode of im yisosir ishma mistorim, without full disclosure. Hiding from a wife, hiding from the kids, hiding from a husband, and hiding from the Rabbanu Shlom. So what is it that's so liberating about vidui? Now those individuals who have been in therapy, or those who have spoken the truth to a tzaddik, or have finally come clean with a person he loves or she loves, as unbelievably embarrassing as it is, L'cha Hashem atzdoka Velonu boishes hapon. Man noime. Man didabe. Man nitzdak. Nitzdak. Nach besedruach chedum nach kerv na shuve lecha. As difficult as it is for the fellow in his little shorts to form a chassid with his sandals and his missing Yiddishkeit, to go back to that opening and to push his way through the door, past the shamoshim and the geboim, and to look at the Friedrich Rebbe in the eyes. But when he does, when the person finally stops running away, and he's able to stop hiding by the trees in the garden of life, and he opens up his heart and he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ashamnu Bagadnu Gazalnu, Achet Shechatonu. And he goes through and he thinks about, and in his mind and sometimes with his lips, he itemizes. And he says the Tvila Zaka of the Chayodim before Kol Nidre. Then suddenly all of the mechitzas, all of the walls, all of the barriers that had made the relationship so strange and so uncomfortable and had taken them so apart from each other, all of the mechitzas fall down. And we have a niggun, the Sfadim have their own niggun when they say slichas, which is so beautiful. Maybe we'll have one of the Sfadim get up and sing a little bit. The Nusach is so beautiful. I used to daven in yeshiva with the Sfadim during Elul to be with them when they would say Slichas. By Ashkenazim, it's not, the Niggun is not as sweet. But it's very familiar to us. Ay, 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 oshamnu, bogadnu. That niggun is not a niggun of sadness. It's a niggun that's filled with the longing of a Jew. It's filled with the embarrassment of a Jew. It's filled with the relief of finally being able to be honest and to bring to the table full disclosure. It's filled with the gaguim of a person who in the very deepest, deepest part of who he is doesn't want to live apart from HaKadosh Baruch. Just like the husband who really adores his wife, I can't stand being apart from her. I can't stand the distance and the ice that's come into the relationship as a result of his hiding. That feeling that David HaMelech describes with the words, like this guy in Yerushalayim, this Lubavitcher looking for the Rebbe to come back and waiting till the last day. And finally he couldn't take it anymore. The years of running away. Just like the unbelievably inspiring story of the Tzaddik, the Yablana that we were talking about last Yom Kippur, and the Chevra that went to Hungary, and then we went to Kvach Hasidim, and we were zeichet to be there by the tzin, by the kever of that tzaddik. With the end, couldn't hide anymore from those Jews who he left behind in Kvach Hasidim. And he couldn't hide anymore from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And he couldn't hide anymore from his destiny to be a tzaddik, to be a rebbe. And it says on his grave, Kvay Kedushas HaAdma, Rabbi Cheskel Tau. That we saw their own eyes, not a picture. Espanecha Hashem Avakesh. When a person comes with full disclosure, and he says, Espanecha Hashem Avakesh, like the fellow in Yerushalayim, I want to see your face. Espanecha Hashem Avakesh. Each one of us says, like David HaMelech, Al Taste Panecha Mimeni. Rabbi Shalom, I'm asking you not to hide your face from me. The inyan of vidui is panim el panim, face to face. I once told you that I saw in a seif, it says another remez of Elul, that the Rosh Tevis Aleph Lamed Vav Lamed, Elul is Efshalis Kayim V'Lamed Lefanech. And Ashi Yotzer, Efshal, if we wouldn't be able to take care of our health, Efshalis Kayim, Elul means Efshalis Kayim V'Lamed Lefanech. Despite everything that I've done in my life, despite all my mistakes, like that chassid who's dragging around, avoiding the Rebbe, Elul, Slichis, Rosh Hashanah, Rabbi Yisroel will come back to you. Open and honest from the time that we spent in Gan Eden running around and hiding. And we say, Ani l'doidi, I don't want to hide anymore. I don't know how I'm going to fix these things. But I know that your mission statement for me and the tachlis of my creation, going back to that first day, was to be able to be honest with you. Was to be able to love you as two people who are honest with each other and trust each other and are not hiding the truth and not betraying each other. And I believe that you're going to help me. And I believe that you're not angry at me. And just like the Lubavitcher Rebbe, the Fidei Rebbe, when he saw this chassid, he didn't ask him what happened to your beard. He didn't ask him what happened to your kapata. He didn't ask him what happened to your talus cotton. All he said was, you're back. You were able to get past the door that says on it, do not enter. You were able to believe that despite everything, I am still Peseach Shalit Doifke B'tshuva Kirashim Chedalim Dafaknu D'lasecha, and you came knocking on my door. The Baruch Shalom then, just like in that situation with the husband and wife, that when they have a very strong relationship, even though it's so painful, but when there is that truth, that moment of truth, they're able to be again together. It takes time. It hurts. There needs to be tikkunim. But the game is over. He's not running away anymore. So I thought maybe I'd play you a song. One of the many, many, many songs of Michal Shapiro that you haven't heard yet. The ones that you have on the beautiful album that the Chevra put out this past year. It's only a tiny little percentage of his nigun. But I know it's a little bit tacky when I do that and I put the thing to the mic and you can't really make out the words. It doesn't always work when I do that. But I really wish I could, because there's one of his songs that's on the tape that is missing, that's hidden, that he refuses to allow out and doesn't send out, which he said he might reconsider. He told one of the Chevra he might think about reproducing that, and maybe some of the guys will help. But there are words in that amazing niggun, master of all worlds. What can we say? For so many years we've been so far away, forcing our lives and hiding our fears, shutting our eyes and closing our ears. But now we're too tired to hide from you anymore. But now we're too tired to hide from you anymore. So, Chevra, in a couple of minutes we're going to begin and we're going to say, together with our dear friend Yaakov, Chazdei Hashem is here with us, strong, we began together, we got to get to Yerushalayim together. We're going to say, Hanishomaloch Vahaguf Pa'oloch. Hanishomaloch Vahaguf Pa'oloch, Rabban Shalom, the soul is yours, you created my soul. And my body is the work of your hands. Hanishomaloch Vahaguf Pa'oloch. Chuzah l'amolach. What does that mean, Chuzah l'amolach? Have rachmonis on all the hard work. Take pity on all the work that you've put into us. Chuzah l'amolach. And the shamolach v'aguf polach. Chuzah l'amolach. So I mentioned this morning in Pasha Shoftim, you know, there are Jews that they're not able to stay on the front in war. They return home, Ya'ish Asher, Bona Bayis Chodosh, somebody who built a new house. V'loi Chanochai, he didn't yet really move in. Ish Ashanota Kairam, a person planted a vineyard. V'loi Cholol, he didn't yet, it really wasn't yet up and working. Somebody who was engaged to a woman to get married. What do all these people have in common, or these things have in common? So Rashi says, Shehem dvorim sheyesh behem agmas nefesh. You hear what Rashi's saying? What's the agmas nefesh? There's nothing in English for agmas nefesh. Dvorim sheyesh behem agmas nefesh. I mentioned it this morning for a second. Dvorim sheyesh behem agmas nefesh, Rashi is saying, I started something and I didn't finish it. I built a house, but I didn't move in. I planted a vineyard, but I'm not using it. I'm engaged, but I'm not married. And then all of a sudden, something happens, a war. And I'm schlepped out to the front. So these are people who are filled with agmas nefesh, because things haven't been finished. There were great things that started, but they didn't yet come to the tachlis. So on behalf of all of us, I want to offer up HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Rabbi Shalom, HaNeshama Loch V'Aguf Poloch. Rabbi Shalom, you infused in each and every one of us a soul, a piece of your infinite being. You infused in each and every one of us. You and I, every one of us here contains within us a chelik elokom yimal mamish. The living God lives in each and every one of us. And you created with us, you gave us a body. The body of a Jew is Kodesh V'Tahar. It's in the covenant, in the bris of Hashem. How do parents feel when they did everything they could to raise a child to be Kodesh V'Tahar, and they gave the child the best education and the best yeshiva, and they gave all of their love to the child, and the child leaves in the middle, the child walks away? How does a couple feel when they spend so many years trying to love each other, trying to be good to each other, and then it didn't work out, and they have to have l'aleinu a divorce? Rashi says these are things, dvarim sheyesh behem agmas nefesh. So Rabbi Shalom was saying to you, if we have agmas nefesh because of the unfinished things in our lives, if it hurts us because we're still running and we're not coming back to you and facing you, then it's only because that's a tiny faint echo of the agmas nefesh you must feel, Rabbi Shalom, having invested so much in each and every one of us, and how we're incomplete. So Barsham on the Shomalach, Vahaguf Pa'alach, Chusal Amalach, have Rachmanis on all the hard work. You have Agmas Nefesh with each and every one of us because of things that we've done. It's hard for us to come back to you. We don't know exactly the way to do that. We want to, but it's hard. Chusal Amalach. And this is the time of the year that more than any other time the Baruch Shalom is calling out to us. The other night, last week, not the other day, last Shabbos, my dear friend Shlomo Katz told a ma'isa. Now this ma'isa I told before Shavuos, and I said to the Chevra and the Chabur upstairs, please remind me to tell this ma'isa over for Slichas. So Shlomo said this story over last Shabbos, although it wasn't 100%. Which I told him afterwards, it was good. But it wasn't the whole story. It was missing a tiny piece. But since I wanted to say Slichus, even though some of you might have heard the story, Afapichan, I'm saying it again. This is about a Gerer Chassid, a young man who was very disappointed in himself. His family was in America and he was learning in Eretz Yisrael. This is some years ago, when at that time the Ger Rebbe was the Beis Yisrael Shlusi Yen Lein. And this Chassid decided there was no point staying anymore in Yerushalayim. That's not why his parents spent all the money, because he was not accomplishing. And he decided he was going back to the States. But he wanted to stop off at the Kaisel. It was very, very late at night to go to the wall, as many people do, to daven, to say goodbye. So he went to the Kaisel. It was something like 3 in the morning. He went to the Kaisel. So he was hoping not to meet anybody that he would know. And he's there, he's very quiet. And all of a sudden, there's somebody tapping on his shoulder. And he turns around, and it was the Beis Yisrael himself, the Ger Rebbe. It was the exact last person in the world he wanted to see. It was the Beis Yisrael. And he stood there, and the Beis Yisrael didn't ask him anything. The Beis Yisrael obviously saw everything, and he said to him the following thing. Just said these words. This is where I saw it in the Sefer. The Beis Yisrael said to him, "The Baruch Shalom doesn't laugh." And the Beis Yisrael turned away and walked away. Now this chassid had no idea what that meant. So he went back to Geula, and he didn't know who to ask, but he wanted to ask the Pnei Menachem, the future Rebbe, the Pnei Menachem, the Beis Yisrael's brother, who was at that time Rosh Hashiva. But it was like 4 in the morning, 4:30 in the morning, but he went and he saw the light was on and he knocked on the door. And he came in and the Pnei Menachem said, "What happened?" He said, "This is what happened to me. I went to the Kaisel and the Rebbe was there and the Rebbe said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't laugh. Doesn't laugh. Lo tzochek." So he asked the Pnei Menachem, "I don't know what the Rebbe means by that." So the Pnei Menachem says, "Listen, here in the yeshiva, if a Baruch does something crazy, he messes up. So they bring him in to me. I'm the Rosh Hashiva. And I have a whole talk with him. I yell at him. This is what's going to happen to him." And he cries and he says, "Rabbi, please, I'm not Rosh Hashiva. I'm not going to do it again. As though I won't do it. I promise I won't." And I said, okay. One more chance. The next day, they bring him in again. The Zelbamaz. The same thing. He starts to cry, "Rabbi, I don't know what happened to me. I said, Ruach Shtus. This time, be'emes. So this is the Rosh Hashiva, so Pnei Menachem says to this guy, "Right, this is already crazy." But he says, the guy's crying, and what am I going to do? So then the Rosh Hashiva says, I said to him, "Okay, listen to me, but I've had it." So Pnei Menachem says to this guy, the next day, they bring him back in the third time. So here in America, we say 3 strikes, you're out. I'm sure the Pnei Menachem never heard of that. But this time, the Pnei Menachem said, "At this point, I would say to the guy, get out of here. I'm not talking to you now. I'm done with you." The Pnei Menachem said, "That's because I'm a human being. But my brother was telling you, he saw in your eyes that you're running. And my brother was telling you, you don't have to. Because the Baruch Shalom doesn't laugh. He doesn't laugh at you." I would laugh at a person who had come in already 3 times, 4 times. I would laugh. This is so silly. I'm not even talking to you. The Baruch Shalom doesn't laugh. Never. With all of our stuff and shtick and promises that weren't kept and all the things from last year and here we are again, he doesn't laugh. He takes us seriously. Our avodah right now, Rabbis, is to take ourselves seriously. It's to take ourselves really seriously and to believe in that Hashem, he doesn't laugh, but he smiles a lot. A much bigger smile than the Friedrich Rebbe. Hashem should help us that through these days and weeks, we should be zeicha to see that smile, to feel that embrace, and to return to him so that finally the time will come where we talk, will return with the Koyach HaTshuva to return to Yerushalayim, the Gula Shavamitis, from Hevi Amen, Amen, Amen.